With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Bijou Podcasts.
Check.
Two.
What? Okay. Sibilance.
It's so in-house. No one would even get that. Welcome to the first episode of season two of Couple Goals Question Mark. I am Stacey June.
And I am Ben Jenkins.
And we have a new addition to our season two podcast, and that is, you can probably hear him,
Bryn Maverick.
Yes, who is joining us for our very first episode. Wow, we've come a long, long way. And we were really unsure about what this season looked like. To be fair, I think for a while there we thought we would be going through more fertility treatment and we're preparing for this season to be, I guess, our journey around IVF and speaking to more experts and moving into that stage.
Yeah, we did talk about that really long and hard.
Yeah, and we ended up falling pregnant. We found out in April 2019 and we gave birth to Bryn Maverick, our son, on the 20th of January of 2020.
Yes, we did. Little Bryn Maverick. So it's been an exciting time. It's been a wild ride since then, just with the little guy, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
but, yeah, it's been a pretty magical time. And like you said, I don't know if we... We, you know, in our heart of hearts, we knew that he was going to arrive. We just didn't know when. Voila, there he is in his little spaceman puffer vest.
I bought him this. I'll have to take a photo and put it up on my Instagram for when we release this. But I bought him like a bright silver puffer vest.
I guess
it's silver, you know, bright. I don't know. That's not the way you describe silver.
It's bright and sparky.
Yeah, right.
But you know, if anyone's from the generation I am, they probably would have watched.
They're probably not.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I am of a unique vintage. They might have watched the show Mork and Mindy when they were younger.
No one watched that.
Yes, they did.
No, they did. No, I don't even know what that is.
Nanu. If you, if you watched Mork and Mindy, you'll know what that is. A bit of a Mork and Mindy in joke, that one. Nanu.
A joke of a whole
It was Robin Williams. It was hilarity. It was very funny. Even Bryn's laughing. He loves it.
He laughs at anything right now. He laughs at light. He thinks the salt lamp is hilarious.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Look, we're still a little bit undecided as to how this season's going to pan out.
Sorry, drink with ice.
Yeah, and but we did want to open up this particular season with our birth story because we have – oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Bryn's farting.
No, I think he's shitting.
It's on camera. I mean, on mic. Now he's laughing.
We wanted to open it up because so many of you have been interested in our story when it comes to birth, when it comes to birth prep. And so before we even really have kind of mapped out how we want to do this season, whether it'll be more regular, whether we'll be talking about general stuff, whether we'll be talking about parenting, or whether it'll be a whole mix of everything, we wanted to kick it off and respond to lots of your requests, not just people that listened to season one, because it was very fertility driven.
Focused,
so
yeah.
It will take a bit of a twist this season. So
I think I think it will take a little twist, and I think he's still going, the little guy.
And we're so distracted. Like, there's no way we could have just gone on and continued to do fertility treatment and pretended that it didn't happen, which is what I thought as an option, because I'm so protective of our TTC community trying to conceive for those of you playing at home that I was, you know, still even mindful of potentially continuing on with what we had started. But for everybody in that TTC community, I think you don't want anyone to be held back because of your journey. Everybody wants the same thing, which is to be able to have a baby.
Yeah. But I think, you know, as well, you know, it will obviously come up in this season, but, you know, I just think it'll be good to talk about couples and relationships and everything from the male and female perspective, you know, really shine a light on those two sides.
And you're looking to really get into, you know, men's content and men's stories and being able to speak on behalf of blokes, two blokes, about things that we both...
Yeah.
We both share, because I think a lot of the time, well, my whole career has been about speaking on a woman's behalf, and I think that content is becoming more prevalent. Mm. And there's this weird time now that since we've got equality, I think it's almost like, okay, everybody now wants these conversations to be open and honest and conscious for both genders. We've got to equality. We want everyone to be having those conversations. Yeah, you're quite passionate about that.
Yeah, quite passionate about you know, shining a light on the importance of, you know, being a open-minded and open-hearted man, you know,
father now.
And father, yeah. And I mean, men probably in general probably are that, but they just don't express it. And, you know, I'm really passionate about putting that message out there and the importance and significance of that, about men, you know, showing the full sides of themselves and expressing the full sides of themselves. And I know I've, you know, had some great benefits from doing that and, you know, doing deep work to uncover a new side to myself. So,
giving him a bit of a rap. Like,
you love giving me the wind up.
Yeah,
you know, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I've got a good idea of time because of my commercial radio background. You know, we need to kind of keep, we don't have to keep it as tight as that, but we do have a story to tell.
Yeah, you do, you know. You do like your little short segments.
I just like, well, we were just teasing.
It's okay. I'm good with it. Okay. Let's roll it on. I do waffle. I do like to waffle.
I love you for it. So the birth story. So we did a lot of preparation
in the lead up?
Yeah, that's it. In the lead up to baby Bryn's birth. Because it wasn't just Bryn's birth, it was my birth as well. It was my birth as a mother, it was our birth as parents, but it was particularly a birth story that I was very excited to have and very passionate about having for myself first and foremost, and then Bryn, my baby, next. Mm. Because I did always dream about giving birth, you know, and I think so many stories are told that are pretty horrific, pretty traumatic, hard and scary.
You wanted to change that.
And I didn't want to change it to the point where it was about anyone else. Like, I didn't want to change it because I wanted to change the story for society. Like, there's been lots of things that I've done in the past where I'm like, I'm so passionate about women's content, we need to have this discussion.
Mm.
Birth was so unique and so intimate and so about my own journey, first and foremost, which is why we're only just sharing this now. And I did the work because it was about myself. It's been probably the first time in a really long time that I have felt like that.
Yeah,
I've been sharing my life for almost 10 years. And
changing it for the future, you know? Changing it for future generations, so that the generations that come after us from our family aren't going, whoa, well, mom told me the story about my birth and it was horrific.
Yeah, and that's where my focus was. But to be honest, my focus was on myself, really, and the kind of birth I wanted to experience. I felt like I almost owed it to myself. I had dreamt of falling pregnant and having a baby my entire life. Like, I really had. Becoming a mother was something I never questioned through my life. It was always something that a sense of knowing I had. And so I wanted to experience this in its full opportunity, its full offering. So with that said, our aim was to have our birth at home.
Yes.
And so what comes with that is often a lot of preparation.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through some of the prep that we did before we actually get into the birth, keeping in mind that we do need to feed him and we don't want this episode to go on for 3 hours?
Yeah, just touch on it. I mean, rein yourself in.
Yeah. We both have to. But do you want to do prep? Because I bet you I'll get a bit heavy in the birth.
No, you start with the prep, and then I'll slide in, and then we can slow it down, okay, and dissect cool. it.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. So the preparation, I guess, started from, I guess, a conscious decision of wanting to put it out there that we wanted to do a home birth.
Mm.
And I think with home birth, it's really important to be sure that's what you want. But what I will say on the flip side of that is, we were open and ready to change the course at any time Bryn requested it. And what I mean by that is, if he was in a position that was going to make things difficult, if I ended up getting gestational diabetes, if that ended up being that our house wasn't deemed as appropriate distance to a hospital and safety, these kinds of things, we were very open to following the public system.
Yes.
And we were lucky enough that in our area, our hospital offered a home birth offering through the midwife program.
Mm.
So way back when I put my name down for the midwife program, a girlfriend of mine said to me, you need to put your name down. I think I was 7 weeks and I thought it was crazy. I'd had the miscarriage, as many of you are aware, and I wasn't really in a place where I wanted to start thinking about the birth that early on. Yeah. I was really still very much coming to terms with the prospect of having a baby and the possibility, but also staying very much in the moment. It was very hard for me to go too far ahead. I think it was till about 20 weeks that I was really accepting that this baby was here to stay and come human side, earth side. Yeah. And so I did put my name down because she was kind of like, doesn't matter, just do it. We had a coffee at the beach on the steps. I remember it clearly. We were driving to see your mum for lunch in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I just happened to jump on the website, put my name down on the website on the way there, and then didn't really think much of it.
Yeah.
I was in Melbourne a few weeks later where I got a phone call from a midwife saying that I had missed out on the program. And I asked her and said, how the fuck is that possible? I put my name down at like 6 weeks. And I said, with all due respect.
But it was by a day on your due date or something.
No. I'll get to that.
Oh, you're getting there. Sorry.
But I said
to her. Trying to wrap it up.
I said to her, yeah, true, fair enough. I said to her, look, with all due respect, I really am not trying to challenge you. I just want to know how anyone's able to get on this program. How do you, essentially I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to say is, how do so many people know they're pregnant before 6 weeks?
Yeah.
How is this being filled up? Because I knew early because we did fertility treatment, but so many people are walking around being pregnant, not even knowing. I just couldn't get my head around how I'd missed out.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, look, I'll call you back. She called me back and she said, look, I'm going to be straight with you. There's been a bit of a mistake. A few people have been put. So they split the groups into 2 months, the first half of the month and the second half of the month. She said there's been a couple of people that are due in the second, and this is by due dates, in the second half of January that are put in the first group, and that's filled it up much quicker than it usually would.
Yeah.
She said, so what I'm going to do is, I shouldn't really be saying this on there, but anyway, I'll say it. She said, I'm going to fudge your due date. Due dates don't really mean a thing anyway.
Yeah.
To be in the second half of the month so we can fit you in, because you're right, it isn't really fair considering how early you had your name on the list.
Yeah.
So already it was a bit of a, it was all, the universe was saying to play, because I could have just very much been like, oh, shit,
yeah,
okay.
Giving up right there.
Yeah. But I just was, it was my inquisitive self. And, you know, and she, it kind of came around.
Yeah.
So then a little bit later on, when I had my appointment, my midwife appointment at about 15 weeks, they asked me if I'd thought about a birth plan. And I said I was looking to do a home birth. And they said, fabulous, we've just started a home birth program.
Yeah, yeah. That was the first sign for me, I think. Yeah. Just jumping forward there was like when we went to that. So you'd locked all that in and put those wheels in motion, and then we went to the first kind of group appointment with the other couples at
which was random as well, because most people have a one-on-one appointment, but our first appointment happened to be
a group one at the hospital.
With the other people in our groups. Our group was it was called Lavender Group. They called them by different different names.
Yeah. So obviously we'd both talked about home birth, but then so when we got there and that's what we were looking to do and walked in the room, they're all sitting there with their badges on saying, ask me about home birth.
Mm.
You know, they were all like super passionate, and it wasn't a group of women who were looking to have home births. They were all just with the midwives.
Right.
So that was my sign there going, wow, okay, this is awesome.
But the thing, the interesting thing is that later on down the track, when I engaged and started working with a doula, she was telling me about how new the program was. Now, this is really weird because years ago I had had a vision that I would give birth to my baby in our kitchen. Yeah. And at the time when I was having that vision, it was my kitchen. I was a single girl living in this apartment by myself, and I wanted to have a home birth in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we did. but I had always thought home birth was an offering that we were all able to get, and that's not the case. The options of a home birth as it stands today in April 2020, is that for many of you, you will need to basically book a private midwife, which is your own expense. I must also say, though, generally it ends up being a similar expense to an obstetrician, which many people can justify that those costs.
Yes.
So it's the same deal, just a different type of service.
Yeah.
And you need to have a private midwife to be able to home birth your baby at home, unless there is a public system home birth program at your hospital, which I think there's only about 11 in the country.
Yeah, we just happen to be down the road from one.
Very lucky.
So, yeah, that was another sign.
And the hospital is very, very close to our home.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other thing that should be, you know, kind of said, that it was never really a massive decision for us considering we were 5 minutes from the hospital.
Yeah.
So essentially the wheels were in motion. Everything was starting to open up for us in that way. They were a bit iffy about talking to me about it straight up. And once I started to realize more and more that you actually can't talk too much about your birth too much ahead. I realized going through pregnancy that you often walked out of appointments going, I wish I had have had more questions answered, or I wish I had had this solved. And a lot of the time you actually can't be a beat ahead of yourself like you usually are with other parts of your life, with your career or your planning where you're going to live, or a holiday, or attracting a partner. Pregnancy is this beast that kind of takes care of itself. Like, it kind of rolls out as it's going, and you need to get used to kind of almost responding to the baby and your pregnancy and your body first. Secondary. So in your head, you're kind of watching what comes up and then you're responding that way. It's not you acting first.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if there were any hurdles...
Your body's letting you know what needs to be done.
Yeah. And we were very conscious in making sure that we sat back and watched what Bryn would say to us and what my body would therefore be the kind of almost like the language from him.
Yeah.
And so if there were complications or if there were anything that was... Yeah, if there was going to be any complications or anything that led us to maybe think it was a bit of a risk, we were open to listening.
Absolutely.
You know? I think that was a really big factor in it working for us too, is that home birth doesn't mean that you're some hippie that wants to have a free birth. Free birth is different to a home birth. A home birth is that you have to legally have midwives at home. Yeah. They need to have all the kinds of emergency resuscitation equipment.
Yeah. Yeah.
A free birth is that you have it on your own with your partner with no medical intervention. They're very different things.
That would be a wild ride.
Yeah.
Well, for me anyway, some people that's their journey and that's the road they want to go down. That's full credit to them.
We were very independent through in our birth though.
But, like you said, there were all these little signals that popped up, and I have always been a really traditional kind of guy. It's like when we first talked about getting married and I said to you I saw us in a church and all that, because they're the visions that I'd had in my mind of getting married. And I guess when it came down to giving birth and having a baby, I think I also had those images in my head of, you know, being in a hospital, you know. They're the things that you think about because they're the things you see most commonly. So I think I still had a few hiccups from that, even though I was all for having a home birth, because as soon as I put it in the context of this is not a medical procedure, this is a natural process, having a baby. Mm. And as soon as I sort of put that into my mind, I was like, yeah, we don't need to be in the hospital. But then
we worked, and I think it's a really good point. We worked at that as well, very much like I was saying with Bryn, waiting for him to communicate we had an open conversation. You know, yeah. It was always evolving. There was never a time where I said to Ben, I want a home birth. I knew that if Ben wasn't on board 100%, I wouldn't have been able to have a home birth either.
Yeah,
you know, I knew that his fear, his doubt that he brought into the room was going to very much affect my ability to birth safely. Mm-hmm. And so we needed to get to that place together.
Yeah, and my fears were kind of manifesting themselves as problems that were just ridiculous.
Like, but they were valid, you know, like so many people would have them. We're completely...
Not the one about the birth pool. Like I was like, I don't know if we can have the birth pool in the kitchen. I don't know. It'll break the floor. And I started to think like that. And then that's where the fear rooted itself for me. Whoa, Brittany, you're right. And that's where the fear rooted itself for me in that, which wasn't really related to...
Wasn't about the birth, pool.
So, yeah. But then that wouldn't go away. And then something popped up to kind of really test both of our resolves and particularly tested mine.
Well, yeah, you're jumping ahead a bit, but I think it is important to kind of get there. So, like I said, we had that evolving conversation. I'm just trying to think of anything that we've missed before we get to that. Mm. I suppose at this point we signed up to do a course, which was the She Births course, which was about birth planning, birth preparation. It was a two-day course that we did with other couples. Yeah. It was incredible. We were very lucky and did it with the founder, Nadine.
Yeah.
And just really felt even more assured. But one thing I will say is because I was quite certain and confident that I wanted to do a birth with as little, hopefully with no intervention at all, that was very, very helpful to invest for Ben to feel like he was upskilled. He started to have an understanding of just how important his role was, and he was able to get tools to be able to take on board to then put in his tool belt and say, okay, these are my offerings. These are my roles.
Yes.
We were able to really work that out together, work through kind of any fears that we had up until that point. So
took a lot of notes.
Yeah, we did. We had our notebook. Yeah. We were the ones talking in the class the most. We were writing most. We were so proactive at really being committed to learning.
I knew it was all going to come in very handy.
Yeah, and it did. It 100% did. There were things that we left at the door, and there was many, many things that we took on board. We were very lucky to have our midwife that was at our birth in our birth team also teaches She Birth, so that was also just one of those beautiful synchronicities. Yeah, that just happened with our birth because we, like I said, I think stay very open to it the whole way. So it was our decision, but it was Bryn's decision, and it was also a health safety decision. We just let things roll.
Yes.
So we did that. We hired a doula as well. Her name is Lizzie. I can put her information in the show notes if you are interested in working with her. She's based in the eastern suburbs in Sydney.
Yeah.
And that entitled us to probably about six sessions of consults and some real big healings and some processes that we went through with her prior to the birth as well.
Yeah.
So, I think we were pretty well prepped. I was doing a lot of reading. We were doing a lot of... I guess different kinds of conversations between us with whether it was with an appointment with Lizzie or whether it was stuff that we went together, but we just kind of stayed pretty open and pretty committed to, I was very committed to Ben being comfortable, and I think you were very committed to helping me shine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and helping me kind of have the birth I wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to be there for you in every way that you needed me to be there for you. Yeah. Do you want to feed him here in the mid podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's calling out for it. He's got his little spaceman suit on.
So take everyone through the experience we had. So this was at a point, like by this point, we'd done all the sessions with Lizzie. We'd done the prep. We're leading in. We were very planned. We wanted to be very planned prior because we had Christmas and a summer holiday booked around our due date. And we wanted to make sure by the end of December or even it was about the 20th of December that we were all ready to go.
Yeah.
So then we could completely switch off. I got off social media.
Yes.
We planned to go away for Christmas, which we did. We had a mate's holiday that we did an hour, and people thought we were crazy.
Yeah.
But I thought it was the best thing ever because there was a big chance we were going to go over, and I wanted to just be off the grid with my favourite people.
And that's what we did.
Which we did.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of a hurdle that we had a couple of weeks before then.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So before Christmas and before that holiday and all that, Stace had a regular test that you have, which is a test for, what's the acronym again? GBS. So you don't want that to come up positive, because basically if it comes up positive, the suggestion that they make when you're in hospital is that you go on an IV drip and you get IV antibiotics for the whole period, for like 2 hours or more, is it?
No, babe, it's every hour for
every
the birth.
Hour, sorry, that's right, every hour through the birth.
Which, look, many of you that may be listening may have done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
just something that we didn't want to do. We were...
No.
And look, you know, if it's... That's the thing. The safety of your baby is of paramount importance. And we were the same. We were... We felt exactly the same way. But we were also passionate about... you know, his health in the respect of his microbiome. You know, the heavy exposure to antibiotics means that it's going to kind of basically reset his microbiome, and that could have effects on him later in life. And that was also weighing on us as well. I know it was weighing heavily on me, and that really was the thing that was most important to me. So I was leaning in that direction about any way we could go to make sure that we didn't have to do that.
Look, so you get the GBS test, and like all tests, it's really important to be very clear that you don't actually need to say yes to all tests. Not everybody says yes to everything. Most of us do. We live in a pretty nanny state in this country, which has its pros and cons. It's really nice that we're very protected and very supported. But on the flip side of that, it means that we do have a lot of testing and a lot of red tape around liberation and freedom and flexibility with our bodies and our birth.
Yeah.
But Ben and I made a deal at the beginning of our home birth journey that we would do all the tests. Even if things came up that weren't ideal, and if you do have a positive test for GBS, your home birth is off, because they do recommend through a public system that you have antibiotics, therefore they can't administer antibiotics at your home.
So you have to go to the hospital.
So our home birth is over.
Yeah.
So when we decided to do the test, it was a tricky one, because if we were positive, we weren't 100% sure we wanted to do the antibiotics, but even if we were positive, our home birth would have been off anyway. And there's a bit of a loophole there, because you actually can reject the antibiotics even if you're tested positive if you're in the hospital. But for some reason with a home birth, you're not allowed to.
Yes.
So we decided to be a bit sneaky, go and do the test, because we promised each other we would do it. Go and do the test with our local GP, have the information at bay so that at least we knew, and then make a decision from there.
Yeah.
Now, pretty dramatically and pretty awfully, in our 2 week, I think it was 2 weeks before we went away, we were tested positive of GBS.
Yeah, which was, and that's what, just
which was, I was heartbroken.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just to circle back, that's where I believe that was that manifestation of my fear. Like, I thought it, you know, I was sat there and stressed about the birth pool, which had pretty much nothing to do with my fear. But my fear really was around the home birth, you know, and, you know, not knowing what the outcome was and thinking, you know, traditionally that hospital is the best place to be because that's where you can get the best support. So I think this came up. I think it was one of your aunties who said that this is who once you said that you tested positive said, "What does this want you to know? What does this want to teach you?
What is it asking you?"
Yeah.
You know, and I think she had a home birth herself, and I remember ringing her in tears, and she said, "Okay, you need to go away and ask yourself: Are you 100% sure you want this home birth, or?" Is this a bit of a speed hump to let you get out?
Yeah.
Or is this a speed hump, you know, that the universe is asking you to be fucking sure?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you and you both need to be there. Yeah. Has this come up for someone to say, I'm not 100% sure here, or has this come up for both of you to put your like feet on the ground and ground yourself into this decision more than ever?
Yeah.
So and I knew the latter. It ended up being the latter for us.
And I knew that if we could turn it around, then home birth was the direction that we were meant to go on.
And when Ben says turn it around, there are many ways for you to rid yourself of GBS. Yeah. It is a bacteria. We are made of bacteria.
And it's not ridding yourself of it. It's bringing it back into balance. That's the thing. We all have it. It's a gut bacteria that that everyone has.
But if you do a vaginal birth, there is a chance that your baby can get bacteria. We are not taking away
in the birth canal. Yeah.
Yes, we're not taking away from the risks and how terrible and awful it may have been for people that have experienced the effects of GBS and being positive, and then pass it on to a baby who then has fallen sick with something like meningitis and then died. You know, we are very aware of how serious it can
only be. We're only talking about it from our point of view, and not endorsing this for anyone else to go and do this. This is what it was right for us.
But for us, it was about really asking ourselves, well, what does risk look like? What do we define as risk? And for me, having a hospital birth was risky. And I know that sounds very random and full on for people, because everyone would think it would be the opposite. But I knew that a hospital birth was not conducive to a healthy, calm, you know, natural birth for me. I knew that the hospital environment would really work against my ethos and really work against my relaxed ability, you know, and that's exactly what you need. The place that you feel safest is where you need to go. For many people, it is the hospital, which is why I encourage you, go there.
Yeah.
But for me, that was never going to be the case. I was always going to feel less relaxed in a hospital environment. So risky for me, yes, because that meant, well, that's going to complicate my birth if I don't feel safest there. The antibiotics part was going to change the way I wanted to birth, because I was going to be on a drip the whole time.
Yeah.
And we were also very concerned by, as Ben said, putting antibiotics in a baby so before it had even come to the world, when we didn't know that there would even be a transfer. You know, like, let's just remember that the antibiotics are given to people in case they get something. So we thought that if there was a case that we were positive and the baby did fall sick, then we would give it antibiotics then.
Yes.
When and if.
One step at a time. That was the one thing we were always doing. We deal with one thing at a time. Okay, this has come up. How do we manage this? We take this process. Okay, we get through that. Next step. Is always about one step at a time and not letting the fear take hold.
Well, to be fair, fertility treatment and then pregnancy taught us that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you really have to wait to see what comes up and then respond to that, not jump seven steps ahead in fear of responding to everything that could possibly go wrong, because that's what hospitals do, and rightly so. They have to look after a mass amount of people, so they need to be 10 steps ahead to keep us safe.
Yeah.
But you have to look after yourself. They have to look after the masses, so their approach is going to be a mass-produced decision, which makes sense for them.
Yeah.
But it's really important that then you advocate for yourself in that process.
Plan.
So if you've got the wits about you, you've got the balls, and you've got the time to do the research, we did, and we did it. So I went to see everyone I could possibly see. I called my Chinese doctor. I went to my chiropractor. I went to my kinesiologist. I called my doula, who was the absolute best. She was just the greatest piece of advice ever, because she was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We have just rode this every step of the way. We don't all of a sudden lose our shit now.
Yeah.
She said, go and get this probiotic. Down it like nobody's business. I went to see my chiropractor. She goes, oh, you can double the dose.
You took two probiotics.
I was taking four a day of this particular probiotic. We can put that in show notes as well. You could start taking it now if you're pregnant to prepare, if you like. We weren't on this probiotic. I took it and I opted to do a retest. Now, this was not an easy process because I wasn't able to see my doctor the second time around. So I had to see someone to do the second test, who judged the living fucking bejeebus out of me and almost was refusing to do the test, because she was so unfamiliar and uneducated with home birth.
Yeah.
You know, she was just thinking
she
I
just
was
assumed
doing
you were doing
a free birth.
The worst possible thing by I'm just going to have a baby.
Well, she judged me big time. Yeah. And she said, you know, what if something happens? You know, this is irresponsible. And she didn't even know that, you know, legally you have to have resuscitation equipment, all those kinds of things. So she was completely uneducated. But you will get lots of people that will throw their opinions, and they will come across like a medical opinion because they happen to be in the medical profession. But a lot of the time it is a personal opinion.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an easy road, let me tell you. And even telling some of my friends, you know, that we've made a decision to go against the grain as what felt at the time so dramatically.
Mm.
But what really worked out to be something that was quite scary was really the absolute final piece of the puzzle in us knowing that a home birth was right for us and for Bryn. I took the antibiotics. I did all of the – what else was I eating? I was eating all of the sauerkraut and the fucking – that disgusting yogurt. Oh, remember you bought that – what was it?
Isn't that kefir lime? Oh, yeah. No, kefir yogurt? Yeah.
Kefir something.
Yeah, it's not kefir
lime. This kid doesn't want to feed, but he's quite happy there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we did everything we possibly could, and then to our absolute delight, we retested, and within 2.5 weeks we changed that positive result to negative. So, look, would we be telling this story if we didn't turn it to a positive? I don't know, to be honest. I feel slightly smug in the whole thing, to be honest, that I was able to change it. But would it have meant that we didn't do a home birth if we were still negative? I don't have the answer for you. I'm thinking we probably would have, which makes us probably the most hippie people you know. Yeah, like, for us, it was really about an exercise to hone in on our decision and be very conscious and alert with what the actual risks look like for us.
And
there were many more risks if we had have had to go to hospital for us than it would have been the other way around. Yeah.
I think for me, it was the clearest representation of putting questions out to the universe and letting the universe answer them. I've never been through a process in life.
It was beautiful, actually.
Yeah, where that's happened so clearly. It was like one step at a time. Okay, if this happens, we put it out there. And if the answer comes back, then we know what to do. Not when the answer comes back, we know what to do, which direction to take, you know? So it was just one step at a time. And yeah, I think that was, we were both there for each other, just doing that for each other.
And it was interesting because in that time up until that point, I guess I was always, I guess, the cheerleader for home birth. It was something I wanted. It wasn't something that you necessarily came to on your own.
No.
But at the same time, in that moment, you rose so strong and you were so, so comforting and assuring and confident in our vision that I really needed, I think, without knowing I needed it, to have that from you, to have the birth we ended up having. Yeah. Like, needed to go through that.
After that negative test result, that was when I knew that this was the path for us. And I needed...
The negative or positive? Because I think you were like that before we got the positive. I think you were like that before we had it turn around. Like, when you're listening to the podcast...
Portraying to you, because I needed to be strong for you.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But inside, I was like, okay, this is a big one.
A big challenge.
Yeah, a big challenge. And so as soon as it was negative, I was like, we're on the right path here. That was the sign I needed.
So
from there, I was pretty confident that we were making the right choice by having the home birth. Didn't really matter what it was. I really felt like I got a real godsmack, so to speak.
Mm.
It was that you're going to be fine.
Mm.
So from there, do you want to move to the birth?
Yeah. So we had essentially what we looked upon
as... pretty close. It was, only after that it was, the time at Christmas. And then 2 weeks up the coast away with friends, which was like the whole time I was like, are we going to have a baby? Are we going to have a baby?
Yeah, I was very, very big by that point. And I wasn't feeling big. I was still feeling myself. I was still very mobile. I was still walking, swimming. We had Christmas with Bryn's godfather and Ben's best mate. It was just the three of us. We had this beautiful seafood lunch and we had an early night and, we watched movies and then ended up meeting my friends down the coast a little bit further for 7 Beautiful Days, which were two of my best friends from school and their families.
Yeah.
And it was just gorgeous, you know. We just were able to read and take things slow. One of my girlfriends has two boys and one of them wasn't even a year old. So they, you know, they'd had a big year as well and everybody was just – and our other friend had been through a lot that year. So we were all just really looking to just take it easy and appreciate each other, I think.
Yeah.
Which we had a pool at the place and I was able to
swim. Well, life was going to change forever after that. So.
Yeah, but I think for them, just as much as for us, it was such a beautiful trip, you know. So I went into pre-labor, I think, on that trip and didn't really know that that's what pre-labor was. I was having what I thought was Braxton Hicks, but I think they were probably practice contractions that were happening. And I would have,
you know, sparks. That's what Braxton Hicks are, though, aren't they? Aren't they practice contractions?
Yeah, but they were different. They felt like they had a little bit of more of a surge feeling to them, but they weren't contractions such that. Yeah. But I definitely know now, knowing what a contraction is, they were almost like a step up from Braxton Hicks, getting me ready.
Yeah.
Because I reckon the beginning of my labor felt very much like some of these sparks on my trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the more I walked, the more that would happen. Before we went away, when we came back, actually, I was, you know, acupuncture every second day. And I went through stages, you know. We went through stages where I did the tea and I put, you know, capsules up my vagina and I, you know, evening primrose oil, and I was eating 7 or 8 dates a day and I was doing all these kinds of things. And then there would be some days where I knew I needed to rest.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, this is exhausting me, you know, walking up and down these stairs.
Yeah.
I also need to restore my body and make sure that so I'd kind of take it as it came. There was a few times where I cancelled my acupuncture appointments and just really watched the bringing on labor intensity as much as I tried to be active with bringing it on. You know what I mean? Because, look, at the end of the day, I did have a deadline to have a home birth. You know, if you do go 2 weeks over, it's very hard for you to justify having a home birth. We did have a fudged due date a little bit, so there were a few things on our side.
Yeah.
In the end, I think I was probably way over than it did say on paper. And it wasn't really my fudging or anyone in particular fudging. It's just that there was just a bit of a mix-up on when we actually conceived.
So yeah, absolutely.
It worked in our favour, and I wasn't really that interested in due dates, to be honest, anyway. But when you get to that place, they do start to really become quite important, I suppose. So
I think there was one thing for me, like the next, because
he's probably got a burp. That's why he's
fussing around. Yeah. He needs to burp. I think, you know, just talking about, you know, my signs for me from the universe and how it was communicating with me. Oh, there he goes. There he goes, the little big man. Good one, buddy.
Yeah.
Good one. The day before the birth, we went for a walk on the beach, and it was a pretty kind of grey day. I remember having an umbrella, and I remember having this feeling, and it sounds weird to express it this way, but it was a weird feeling that was kind of similar to me to feeling like someone had died, which I've experienced, you know, a few times in my life. And when I say,
well, you lost your dad.
So. Yeah, yeah. But when someone close to you dies, I'll say that it just had that feeling about it. And I know it sounds weird to say that, but I think.
Well, I don't think it's weird at all. Grief is an interesting thing. Like we kind of
energetically, though, I think they're very similar.
No, no, it's the same thing, babe. It just doesn't mean somebody died.
Mm.
Grief is grief. So if you're saying goodbye to a life, you're saying goodbye to a job or a friend, and they might not have died.
It's
still the same emotion.
I think it's that moment in time where your life is never going to be the same again.
Yeah, so you
and they're both the same.
Yeah, it's dying essentially. Yeah. It's like a plan, you know.
Yeah, and so
like so many of our plans at the moment.
Yeah, so I really felt that day. Didn't really know what it was until obviously the next day that we knew we were on.
How were you feeling at this stage? Okay. I mean, I was pretty intense about trying to bring it on, and it
very
was all
calm.
About me. But you were
it
calm,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's. I felt like even though, like in the traditional sense of reading up, and you know, people read a lot of books and everything, and that's fine. But
you went bit blokey, like, you know. I think a lot of people think that you're super woke and super conscious. Mm. But, you know, there's still real traditional, real stereotype roles in our relationship. Yeah. Ben wasn't reading everything. I still had to be like, have you fucking written this? Have you done your homework? Like, I was the director of this show, you know, like, and I don't mean to say that to, it's not a bagging you situation, but I think sometimes, you know, people look at couples and they think that they're all just perfect, you know, and we didn't have any fights or anything. No. I think I just was doing that same old thing that I think a lot of women get a bit frustrated doing, which is just that reminder. But at the same time, the more I've really, I guess, sat in the role of mother in my home, the more I've realized that is an innate part of my role here is to kind of bring the team together and maybe be a little bit of a visionary and try and celebrate and make sure that we're coming back to ourselves as a person, but also as the woman in my feminine energy. So I've stopped resisting that so much, you know. So as much as at the time I was like, fucking hell, Ben, like this is both of us and you have and were amazing as a conscious partner in all of that, I think there's just some things that people are just going to do more than the other.
You know what I mean? But like I think looking back on it, I think the biggest thing for me, the biggest thing I needed to learn was to learn to surrender. And as soon as I did that, I felt very calm and relaxed in whatever was about to follow.
Yeah.
And that I was ready for it.
Yeah. And we affirmed that we meditate every day. We were meditating together. We were doing a perineum massage. Ben was doing the perineum massage on me. Every other night, I think we would laugh at how we dropped the ball occasionally, but we'd get oil.
Every other night on average.
And we'd get, you know, we'd get oil and Ben would do it of a night time. And as much as it was at times painful, he would then read some affirmations to me that I had chosen, that I was strong, that I was ready. You know, what else were you saying? I was...
Powerful.
Yeah. I was like beautiful, all these kinds of things. That would help. And it was really intimate and really lovely.
He's poking himself in the eye.
Was he?
Yeah.
To connect on that. So, you know, there were things that we did that felt like they were for my physicality, but essentially were bringing us together physically, which was really, really important because endorphins, just think about anything that you do to bring on sex or to make sex comfortable is exactly the same approach that needs to be taken for birth. And that's what we did. Everything we would have done to make it a beautiful, sacred place to make love is essentially what we churned our home into.
Yeah. They're the hormones that you want to create. Yeah.
Do we want to make a part B of this podcast? Because he's going to go a bit ballistic. And
is he?
We've come to a nice.
We've come right to the end into the lead up to the birth.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe this is part A, and then we will get to part B next week.
Okay. Let's
do
that.
What do
you think? I think that's good.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry to lead everyone on. You know. But I think we covered a lot there, but it does feel like a good exclamation mark or full stop there, and then we'll move on to the actual home birth. But hey, this is a good insight into what it's like being a new parent. You know, you can never plan for anything.
I mean, it's his bedtime, so he's been incredibly gracious.
He has been.
But I think he's.
But now he wants a bath.
Yeah, I think it's about time to get him ready. So we will share the ins and outs and the blow by blow, or should I say, the hour by hour account of our home birth on the next episode.
Yeah.
We thank you so much for joining us. If you've got some ideas or questions,
it's good to be back.
Anything that you'd like us to cover, we'd love to get you guys involved. I'm thinking about starting another Facebook group that's away from our TTC group. That's just a generic kind of chat group. But I don't know. You know our Instagrams. I'm Stacey June. Ben is Ben Gencola. Is it?
Benno Gencola.
We'll put them in show notes.
Yeah, okay.
But if you want to contact either of us on our socials and come up with some suggestions or things that you'd like to know.
Didn't we have some in the bag that you put out before?
Yeah, we'll keep them in the bank, but it's just an open invitation to engage people into our socials.
Please send them on through.
And we'll be back with the next episode, which will be our home birth details.
We may even release them together so that you can back to back them if you so desire.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being back. Welcome to those of you that haven't listened to the show before. And welcome to Bryn, his first ever podcast.
Hey.
This is what mummy does, babe.
Little miniature celebrity.
Many other things.
Yeah.
and
a multitasking solopreneur.
Yeah, fuck. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
But we'll pick this up next time.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been another Bijou Podcast production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.